Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. It's always a big one, the first day of school. Students in some jurisdictions in our region returned yesterday. Today, day two. But in either one of the days, no physical students in the classroom. For now, due to the coronavirus pandemic, virtual learning is the norm. The new norm affecting, though, everyone, students, parents, teachers, and administrators. Tonight, we'll talk with educators about the virtual start of the new school year here in the DMV. The phone lines are open. We would like to hear from you, parents with children, students, teachers, administrators. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is your hour to be heard. Joining us tonight for our conversation is Teresa Dudley. She is the president of Prince George's County's Educators Association, and Elizabeth Davis, president of the Washington Teachers Union. Again, the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. Dudley, we will start with you. Talk to us about the two-day start here to the school year. How's it been going? Ups and downs.
Well, you know, everybody is a new teacher this year.
Yes.
We're all learning new tricks and, you know, the concept of, you know, your first year in the classroom is coming back to a lot of our teachers who have been in the business for a long time. And times have changed. Now we've moved to a virtual classroom. The good and the bad and the ugly. The good is that education is still continuing for our wonderful students in Prince George's County. The good is that our educators have been working tirelessly for the past month, getting ready. The system has been making a way for a lot of our children to connect. While we still have a great digital divide and companies like Comcast and Verizon could give free internet to our students and our educators, seeing as they haven't paid any taxes in the state of Maryland last year, I think that we need to really look at equity. And, you know, they say when America gets a cold, African Americans and people living in poverty get the flu. So going to the virtual learning has really highlighted the need for equity on the digital divide. But our teachers are ready. Parents and families are ready. The governor threw us a little bit of a curveball last week in trying to, kind of spook everybody to run back to school. But our school system stood strong and said, we're going to start school on Monday virtually as we had planned. You can't dangle money in front of people's faces and think they're going to give up their personal safety for for a paltry sum that he was offering. This is important. We've had two educators in Prince George's County die from COVID. It is not a game to us, and we want to make sure that our...
Nope, I think we lost Ms. Dudley for a moment. We're going to reconnect and get back to her. Ms. Davis, talk to us about the first 2 days in the district for teachers, for students, for administrators. How have things gone?
Thank you for inviting me on, DeMonte. And, of course, the WTU is reaching out to all of our members. As of Monday, we sent out a survey to get an idea how the first week has gone for teachers. We do know that there were some issues prior to the reopening of schools, even though our mayor and chancellor announced that we would open 100% distance learning, which was the right thing to do. Unfortunately, I think we wasted a lot of precious time with misguided efforts to reopen in-person learning, because that was the initial plan, rather than focusing on the technology divide, ensuring that technology, which was going to be needed for a partial reopening or distance learning, was going to be needed to be available to all students. And our focus has been on all students, DeMonte, because we do know that our school district has the means, and our city has the means, to provide one-to-one devices for all students. The pandemic has not really recognize any inequities that existed in our school districts, even in Maryland and other parts of the nation. It basically amplified, it just magnified a lot of those inequities, and the digital divide is simply one of those. We knew that it existed. We've known it's existed for decades. But the pandemic is raising, is magnifying those issues, and we had hoped that the school district would spend the time this summer addressing the results of a survey that we conducted with teachers to find out how many of our students are actually at home without connectivity, without computers, without Wi-Fi access. And we discovered that 35% of our students did not have access. So we focused our attention on ensuring that these students would be able to get online and engage with their teachers. And in so doing, we know that this is going to take an additional stress off of our teachers who are going, and our teachers are doing an amazing job. As Teresa has said, they have been teaching from their kitchens, dining rooms, wherever they needed to. They were able to transition from in-person teaching to distance learning after the pandemic broke, and they did it in an amazing way. But we really need to look at how do we perfect the art of distance learning. Focus on the digital divide, getting all children ready to be online, rather than focus on how we can reopen before the health guidelines suggest that we should. And even though our school district is not going to, basically our mayor announced that we will have distance learning until November 6th. We don't know what's going to come after that. However, we are going to stand our ground on ensuring that our schools will only reopen for in-person learning when it's safe for students and teachers. So basically addressing the issues that teachers are confronting this week, we brought on almost 500 new teachers. We want to reach out to them and all of our additional members to find out what are some of the issues that you saw that we need to address, work with DC Public Schools to address those issues in a very real way. Scheduling happened to be one that came up from teachers even before this week began for students. Teachers were concerned about whether or not their technology, the technology that they themselves have at home, is adequate for carrying the platforms that they are required to use for distance learning. And we've discovered that many of our teachers do not have adequate technology. We want the school district to be able to address that as well.
All right. Hold,
it's not
hold,
like we are in a poor city.
Right. I want you to hold that thought because I want to talk a little bit more about that because you bring up an important point. Oftentimes we've been talking about students and the access and making sure there aren't glitches for them to get online.
Mm-hmm. Well, we surveyed our members in the spring,
mm-hmm.
And 15% of our members did not have internet access at home.
And these are the teachers we're talking
these
about.
These are the teachers.
Now,
when you talk about those 15%, multiply that by the number of students that they serve, and you can see where the issues are. You know, broadband internet in your house can cost you close to $80 a month. And for some of our new teachers just starting out, they may not have broadband internet in their household. And that's really the key in the virtual learning because you have to have the band space to download and upload and do all your work. When you're talking about uploading videos and downloading videos, it's very challenging. The Comcast Essentials and the Verizon Essentials package give them 25 megabytes. We're asking for them to at least push it to 200 so that the kids aren't sitting there buffering. And I do want to say that, you know, this is not just the NEA, PGCEA, MSEA issue. We are working very closely with Diamante Brown at Baltimore Teachers Union. We've done protests with them calling for an opportunity to learn for our students and ending the digital divide. We are very united on this issue amongst both of the NEA and the AFT families.
And Ms. Davis, I would think one of the issues, because Teresa hit this when we're talking about buffering, and we do know there were, you know, technical problems, not just in D.C., but really through all of the area school jurisdictions, if you're talking about, you know, one of the things is when you're online and everyone, at least all that went back to school yesterday and today, are online at once, I would think that's a major problem because, as Ms. Dudley said, you're all buffering, but you're all on at once. Is that something, as Teresa mentioned, that has to be worked out with the provider to give you more bandwidth in each individual school district?
You're absolutely right, and Teresa is correct. And, of course, this is an issue that cannot simply be addressed by schools. You know, our school budget did not we were not allocated any additional funds for COVID-19, not for technology. And, of course, since we have raised a lot of attention to the fact that our school district was not, we've had some contributions made by the Office of the State Superintendent of Education. But when you really think about it, we are in two urban school districts that has no reason for not after we transitioned as a result of the pandemic to distance learning mid-year, knowing and recognizing what shortfalls we had. There's no excuse for us to reopen with those same constraints this school year. Because unless there is just a lack of political will to come up with the funds that are needed to provide access to students and teachers, we already knew that we were going to be doing distance learning, and we will be doing distance learning in Maryland and D.C. and other jurisdictions for the remainder of this school year, either by way of a hybrid model. It doesn't matter. But we do know that it's going to require us to have teachers and students online. So let's put up the funding that we need to make that happen. Teachers do not need to be agonizing about whether or not they can engage with students or whether or not they need to come out of their own pockets and paychecks in order to buy Wi-Fi access in order to teach.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're 2 days in for many of the local jurisdictions with students going back to school, but really going back to school in their kitchen, in their bedroom, in the living room, not in the physical school setting, and what all of that means and how things have gone the first 2 days and what's projected down the road. We have two educators here helping us with the conversation, and the phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you as well. 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines, and Dr. Abby is calling from the district. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
I have a comment. So this is Dr. Abby Abdelican. I'm here with my daughter, who's a third-grade student at Jenny Elementary, and I think we have been very impressed with the decision-making, just how the administrators made decisions about whether or not we would be in person or at home pretty swiftly. That has been very admirable. And I think that even the issues that we've had in terms of just connectivity have been very minimal. I talk to my kids every day about their experience, you know, in the online classes, and I have to say that their feedback has been very positive. Lola, would you like to say something about your experience?
Yes. So my name is Lola Dallison, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm in third grade now. And I really like school because I get to see my friends, and I really like school, and I've been waiting for school for a long time during summer vacation.
Well, thank you so much, Lola.
Fantastic.
I think that's it.
I just have to say to her mom,
yes,
Jenny is one of, I mean, they have an amazing principal and amazing teachers there. Who go above and beyond the call of duty, much like all of our teachers do. And it's so gratifying to hear that her experience in this first week has been very positive. And I do want that. I want all of our students to have the same experience.
Well, thank you so
much. Across the city.
Thank you so much, Dr. Abby, for calling in and having your daughter, who's so well spoken, join us.
Thank you, Dr.
Abby. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Teresa Dudley, I did want to bring this up because you mentioned it in your earlier comments about the governor sort of, I'm sort of paraphrasing, but you're saying sort of throwing a monkey wrench into how the schools would reopen. But we do know that the State Board of Education has approved, right, new requirements for instructions for the school year where they want schools to include 3.5 hours of Nye's instruction each day, right? Live online instruction.
We're meeting that in Prince George's County. That's not the issue.
Okay, what's the issue?
The issue is the governor is trying to push us to start planning on going back after the first quarter,
okay,
as opposed to the plans that we have already put in place to do distance learning until at least January.
But it's up to local jurisdictions, though, to make that decision, correct?
Well, it's up to local jurisdictions what they want to do. However, they're using money as a carrot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you go back early, we're going to give you some money. Well, the $10 million that he offered everybody wasn't $10 million per jurisdiction. It was $10 million for all of those jurisdictions. And the only jurisdictions he offered it to were those jurisdictions that said that they would go back after they would only suspend school for the first quarter. Dr. Golson and the school board in Prince George's County made a courageous move, and they said, look, we want our students and our staff to be safe. And we don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 months, but we're going to plan for instruction to continue for our children, and that's what they've put in place. And, you know, when they asked me, when I first heard about it, my first response was, are you crazy? Do you understand that people are dying from a pandemic and you're trying to send children back? Have you even read the Massachusetts General Hospital report that showed that the viral loads of children are higher than in anyone else with those children being asymptomatic?
Well, we're going to talk more about that. Hold your thought, Ms. Dudley, because mm-hmm. we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to bump over to the other side. Tonight we were talking about the start of the school year, what it means for students, teachers, parents, administrators. We've got technical things that you have to know. Teachers need to have what they need in terms of technology. Some don't. How do we make that happen? And just having enough just stuff from whatever you're using so you're not buffering, so you can get the work done and help your kids if you're a parent. So we're going to talk about that. So if you're on the phone line, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight our topic is education and the back-to-school virtual school process that started yesterday. Today is day two. First day, glitches, mostly technical, all throughout the region for school systems that went back. Day two, seems like things went a little bit better. We've got two educators here to help us figure out what's going on here just 2 days in. Teresa Dudley is president of Prince George's County's Educators Association, and Elizabeth Davis, president of the Washington Teachers Union. And we have you. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we go to Yolanda on the phone lines, Teresa Dudley, you were in the middle of sort of making a point, and I want to give you the opportunity to finish.
Well, the point is that each jurisdiction is different in the state of Maryland, and that the governor, by dangling these carrots of the $10 million last week, created a lot of unnecessary consternation amongst families who have been planning, educators who have been planning, what are they going to do, how are they going to do distance learning at home, but 2 days before the before schools were set to open.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it was really just a grandstand move on his part because it was the last day of the Republican National Convention and he wanted to prove that he could push people to come back to school. That's not what this is about. It should be about safety. It should be, and if he really wants to do something for our students with that $10 million, help us close the digital divide. Make sure that all of our students have the technology that they need and make sure that our schools open in a safe manner. But the biggest thing that the governor could do, and one of the things that he did earlier this summer, is he vetoed the blueprint for Maryland's future, which provided equitable funding for students with special needs, students of color, our ESOL learners, to balance the playing field. His constitutional responsibility is to provide for a quality, equitable education for the children of Maryland. It shouldn't matter what zip code you live in as to how your school is equitably funded. And that's what that Maryland blueprint will do for our children for now and for the next 10 years of its implementation. So I'm praying, and we're going to be lobbying the Maryland General Assembly to make sure. I'm going to be working with Diamante Brown at BTU up in Baltimore. And, you know, I meet with Liz on occasion. It's nice to be on the phone with her.
Yes.
Because we're all in this. We're in this together.
Yes.
Because we got to make sure that our country, and especially in the Washington metropolitan area and Maryland, know that our children should be a priority, not an afterthought. And you said something earlier that there's money to do the things that they want to do. You are absolutely right. There are resources, but is there the will to make our children a priority?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Let's go back to the lines. Yolanda is here from Maryland with a question or comment. Go right ahead, Yolanda.
Hi. I'm assisting my grandson, who's in the second grade, 7 years old. I'm a PG County resident, went to PG County schools, have raised my two kids who are in their late 30s and late 20s. My grandson is seven. I think what hasn't been factored is the teachers are not technically savvy to even do things. I sat in on his class with him for the live session, 28 kids. And I had to say to the teacher, can you mute all of the lines? To get seven-year-olds to unmute is, my grandson was just all over the place. He wasn't even focused.
Mm-hmm.
To me, these kids who are in elementary, you're going to have a parent or a guardian or somebody there to keep them on task.
Good
or
point.
Or they're not going to learn anything.
Elizabeth, what about that? Is that more a parental or teacher thing?
Sounds
because I think
it's both.
Yeah, because it both. Sounds like it can be both, right?
Absolutely right. This should not fall solely on the parents and
okay.
teachers. I'm sure in Maryland and in D.C. have cried out for additional professional development on the use of the platforms. When our school district transitioned to distance learning, we had teachers who were told that they could use Instagram, Facebook, everything. So I realized, because this was something that was unexpected, we had to all be very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers were. Teachers are the most flexible professionals that I know. So, but what they have said is we need additional professional development, ongoing, sustained professional development on distance learning, not only on how to use the platform, because Yolanda made a very good point. And there are teachers who will say to you, well, I didn't know that I could do that. We have 500 new teachers coming into the district. We need to provide them with the professional development to show them how to set up virtual classrooms, how do you maintain structure and control of your classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Because students, as you know, are digital natives. They know this technology better than any of us.
Without a doubt.
They can lock you out of the classroom if you're not careful. So I'm just being very,
right.
I am an IT. I taught IT in my last position in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know that our students are far more savvy with this technology than we know they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we want our teachers to be just as savvy, but we want to give them the tools, the support, the resources they need in order for them to manage their classrooms, in order for them to deliver quality distance learning lessons. We can't just throw them out there with, a class list and a Zoom account to say, now go and teach. We've got to do better than that for our teachers.
Teresa, I was going to ask you, are you seeing similar issues with teachers and technology in the county?
Well, one of the things that we're doing in Prince George's County is we are establishing parent centers set up so that when parents need help with the distance learning, they can get help.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there are 9 or 10 of them set up across the county. And so they are really working with the parents to make sure. We also have community schools in Prince George's County where we have 45, we're adding 10 more, so we'll have 55 community schools in place by the end of this school year. And so the community schools coordinators are working with the parents to make sure that they, if they have questions, that they're being answered. With our educators, we are working towards making sure that there's continued professional development. There are online classes and that they have taken on Castify and Google Classroom so that they are prepared to make all of the necessary classes that our students need. You know, this isn't easy for anybody, and I just want to remind everyone that this is a pandemic. This is a crisis situation that we have asked people to move wind and soil and earth just to make this happen. And I know our educators are doing everything they can. Our parents are trying to do everything they can. But, you know, there's a reason why we're professional educators to do our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes as a professional educator, you have to educate a parent, too, and help the parents with their educational acumen so that they can support you in what it is that you're doing. And I really believe that the fact that Dr. Golson came out early has given Prince George's County more time to get things together. And while it's not perfect, while we do have disparities in skill level amongst educators, you have disparities amongst educators anyway. The difference is now the younger people got the technology part, the veterans have the pedagogy part. So it's a really wonderful opportunity for people to share, to support each other. I've seen grade levels have special meetings offline in their own private Zoom conferences to help each other get what they need to get done. So there's a lot of amazing things happening out there. Is it perfect? No. Do we need more funding to end the digital divide? Yes. Do we need more funding for, because let me tell you something. If you think that distance learning is going to end when the pandemic does, it isn't.
Mm.
Because we're going to have snowfalls that are going to close the school for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have hurricanes. And you know what the first thing they're going to say is? Schools are out for 3 days, 5 days. You have to do distance learning or you're going to have to make those days up at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be ready. We need distance learning policies in our jurisdictions that make sense. Our negotiated agreements need to be adjusted to reflect the working conditions for our educators. So there's a lot to this other than, you know, the kids are going back distance learning. The work is plenty, and our educators are rising to the occasion all across the country, even in places where they're being maligned and attacked and being forced to go back to school in unsafe situations.
Exactly.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about back to school, virtual learning, the coronavirus pandemic, how that is affecting learning, students, teachers, parents, administrators, even digital providers. All of this is sort of coming together in a wave. It's so new to everyone. Again, in our region in the DMV, we're only 2 days in for local jurisdictions. So really the school systems that have gone back are kind of in an incubator state, sort of showing us some of the glitches, some of the bugs that need to be worked out. I know we're going to take a break pretty soon, but Elizabeth, I want to go back to a point that you made. I think you said that the delay in deciding to go to virtual for students in the district was just a big problem. Am I remembering that correctly?
You're right.
Yeah.
The mayor announced 2 weeks prior to her final notification to the public. She called along with the chancellor to let me know that D.C. had planned to reopen for in-person teaching, a hybrid model. And, of course, based on the surveys that we conducted with our members, we knew that that was going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. So I basically had multiple questions for Mayor Bowser, and I've stated at the very beginning of any conversations I've had with her and the chancellor is that we are going to rely on your decision to let science guide your decisions as to how we reopen and not politics. So we were hoping that she would understand we need to look at what's happening in our jurisdiction around COVID-19 to determine how we should reopen. It should not be based on anything else.
Well, you said the buzzword that I was about to get to, and I was going to ask you, do you believe the delay, the hesitancy to go right to virtual learning was a sort of issue of politics being involved? And if so...
I know it was politics, and we had to push very hard as a union. And we did multiple, campaigns to sort of nudge the mayor and the chancellor into knowing that it is not a good idea to open our schools on August 31st for in-person teaching based on the data that we received from our teachers, the number of them having underlying health conditions, but also based on data that we know about the school facilities in our system. We know that we have 115 sites. Many of them are buildings that are over 65 years old, faulty ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
Our teachers are not ones, and especially at this time, DeMonte, that is going to simply trust DCPS to do the right thing. When they heard that, oh, yes, we're going to fix the ventilation systems over the summer, our teachers have been, so many of them who have been teaching in the system for years, know that procuring services to fix anything in any school is a glacial process, and they're not going to trust that. And this is a high stakes decision that we're talking about, where teachers do not want to. It's not like a bad snow day where DCPS decided to open and suddenly close because the snow accumulated. No, this is life and death.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You heard, life and death. Sometimes we don't think in that term of terms of schooling, but with the coronavirus pandemic, that has to be factored in. And so we appreciate you even sort of bringing that up, Ms. Davis, the importance of that. We talk about computers and technology and books and learning, but coronavirus, this is a serious issue also that we're dealing with. So we're going to get into that a little bit more. We're going to take a break, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. We'll be right back after this timeout. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Today we are talking about the start of the new school year in the DMV. We're only in day two. I'm assuming day two went a little better than day one. Virtual learning for just about all of the school districts that started up yesterday. Some technical glitches were most of the issues. So hopefully things are a little better. But we're talking about that tonight and what the COVID-19 pandemic, how that's affecting learning and teaching and technology and access to it. Teresa Dudley, president of Prince George's County's Educators Association, joins us along with Elizabeth Davis, president of the Washington Teachers Union. Elizabeth, what about the parents who have children with special needs? Is that a whole different kind of situation that has to be dealt with during this time with virtual learning?
That is a very serious conversation that needs to be dealt with, Samantha, because we do know in our school district, we have been cited by the Department of Education for noncompliance issues around the service to special ed students. So we want to get it right. We want to ensure that our special education teachers are not going to be inundated with a lot of paperwork that is going to distract them from delivering quality instruction to students. We are in the middle of negotiating a new teacher's contract, and that is one of the hot topics in our negotiations process because our teachers, who over 200 of them worked together when we transitioned from in-person teaching to distance learning, developed a task force for reopening, and that task force basically not only addressed issues of reopening safely, they also addressed issues of how to reopen in a way that teachers would be able to deliver the best quality of services to students, and special education students kept coming up on our radar. So
absolutely.
We're going to have to address that with our school district in a way that is going to, number one, alleviate a lot of the busy paperwork that is being that special education teachers are being inundated with, which basically distracts them from delivering quality teaching to their students, engaging with their students, developing individual IEPs for those students. A lot of the busy work that our school district has assigned to special education teachers is outrageous, and we are addressing
that. Is it copied on the right color paper?
Yes. And we want to have some very honest discussions with our school district leader to understand that in order for us to comply with the federal guidelines for servicing special needs students in our school district, mm-hmm. we're going to have to take a look at what are some of those duties that we are heaping on special ed teachers that has nothing to do with teaching and learning. It has to do with managing cases. It has to do with meeting timelines. We want those teachers to be able to do that, but we also want them to have the time to plan and deliver quality instructions to their students, to be able to engage with them individually if they need to. We don't want to keep heaping on their plate more busy work, more paperwork that is unnecessary to allow them to be able to deliver the quality of services that we need to get to our students. So yes, that is a major issue.
Teresa,
so in Prince George's County, we negotiated a contract finished up our contract about a year and a half ago, and in our contract, we got more time for our special educators. We negotiated 5 days of duty-free time for them to work on their paperwork that they needed to get done because it just wasn't enough time in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that the special education issues, the English language learner issues, the culturally competent curriculum issues, the issues about school resource officers in our buildings, armed officers, the issues of making sure that we do have community engagement in our schools. Those are the schools that we want to see reopened. We know that there were problems with the school systems before. So one of the things that, you know, we've been talking about is what are our schools going to reopen back up? Because we can't reopen and do what we were doing before. We've got to lay the blueprint now. We've got to put the outline of what it is that we want. And we are very clear about making sure that there's restorative practices implemented in our schools. And all of these things we are talking about now, we're working with a national coalition of educators from across the country, from Los Angeles to Chicago to Milwaukee, called the Alliance to Reclaim Our Schools. And we have the Prince George's County Alliance to Reclaim Our Schools. If anybody's interested, they can visit our website and see the principles that we have around our school reopening. Because, you know, most of our children aren't dealing with one pandemic, they're dealing with two. Not only are we dealing with the mental and the psychological aspects of COVID, of having lost family members, they're also dealing with the police brutality and the impact that it's had on our community with institutional racism coming into the highlight. So how do we make all of these things happen? How do we reopen the schools that we want to see, especially for our children who need it the most? Because there's some kids who are going to get it in spite of you. Some kids are going to get it because of you. And I think as public school educators, we want to make sure that those kids get it because of us.
Teresa, where can kids in Prince George's County get their daily meals from the school system? How do they do that?
Directly from the schools. Every student received guidance. All of the families should have received guidance from their school as to what time food is going to be served mm-hmm. at their schools.
And they have to provide their own transportation to the school?
For right now, yes. Mm-hmm. For right now, yes. But most of the, I believe that they were talking about some other ways to get food to children, and I'm not 100% on how that's going to change. I know that there was direct guidance that went out yesterday from the school system on picking up their lunches. I have to be honest with you, that's not my union, mm-hmm. so I really didn't pay all of that much attention to the details of it. But I know that they are providing meals for children in Prince George's County.
And
it's available on the website, pgcps.org.
And Elizabeth, if community folks who may not even have children, or those who do have, you know, children in the D.C. school system, if they want to get involved, if they want to provide some kind of resources that might help, is there a place that they can go? Is there a website? Is that a possibility if the community wants to provide some help? I know you've already talked both about the companies such as Verizon maybe being able to step in. I guess that would be involved with the community folks helping out.
Are you talking to me?
Elizabeth.
Talking to Liz?
Elizabeth, I'm sorry.
Okay, because I got a good answer for you, but I'll let Liz go.
I go right ahead, Elizabeth.
Oh. Liz, you still there?
We may have lost her there. Go right ahead, Teresa.
Okay.
I know we've got a couple.
I'll jump right in here and take advantage of the opportunity.
Okay, we got about a minute and a half, so I'll let both of you jump in.
Two websites, DeMonte. Mm-hmm. One is the DCPS website at dcps.gov.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is the WTU website at wtulocal6.org. And, of course, we want to ensure that Baltimore, Maryland has a coalition for the digital divide that we're trying to replicate in D.C., which is an amazing program where they have over 50 organizations that have stepped in to ensure that they will close the digital divide.
All right. Well, the music is playing.
We're working with a group here in D.C., Grace Hu and the D.C. Equity Collaborative, to do the same thing. But we also want to ensure that parents have two resources, one D.C. Public Schools and a second D.C. WTU, because our members...
Okay, very quickly, music's playing. So I want to, Elizabeth, let Teresa kind of squeeze in. I think she
has... I'm going to squeeze in. I love my Liz, so mm-hmm. I'm not going to jump over her. But the Prince George's County Educators website is pgcea.org. They can also visit the Prince George's County Public Schools website, but we also have the Alliance to Reclaim Our Schools, PG. And that's where community members can get actively engaged in reopening the schools that we want to see.
Okay, and Elizabeth, did you finish, or did you have just a little bit more you had to squeeze in?
I actually finished WTULocal6.org, DCPS.gov, and of course, DC WTU is also part of the Alliance to Reclaim Our Schools, so I really appreciate Teresa Ag talking about that, because that is a national movement within AFT, all of the unions affiliated.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth Davis, president of the Washington Teachers Union, and Teresa Dudley, president of the Prince George's County Educators Association. Great conversation. That's the Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, September 1st. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.